This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Going to talk a lot of different sports today, a little basketball, a little football with you. And right now we're going to bring in Diddy Schwartz, our good friend from the Lansing State Journal, and talk a little hoops and a little football. Hey, Diddy, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm doing pretty well this afternoon, Earl. How about yourself?
Hey, pretty good. Interesting game last night. Michigan State won, which we knew they would win. It's funny that Tom would have so much problems or be so upset with things in just an exhibition game.
Yeah, well, usually, in the past how, Coach Tom Izzo can usually be in situations like that. He's, always a tireless worker, and he's always, critiquing his team, and that's what these exhibition games are for. Obviously a nice gesture last night with, Raleigh Massimino coming back and, bringing his Northwood team, after so many great Villanova teams that he had, including the one that won a national championship. It was good to set up an exhibition with a team that was coached by him. But in terms of, Michigan State, a lot of things to look at. They were sluggish for a lot of the game, but definitely some good things that you saw, out of the club, including some, good depth in Brandon Dawson coming back the way he did. He looked very impressive in his minutes. And just some of the contributions from the youth in this team, whether it be guys like Gary, Travis Trice came in and knocked down some threes. Denzel Valentine came in and looked very impressive, I thought, and showed, some of the passing ability that he showed. On those great Sexton teams that ended up at the Dublin Center,
Yes, go ahead. Yes, that was very good with Travis Trice. He came, he was another one coming back from an injury, and he played pretty well himself. Well, and we'll chat a little bit more with Denny. We lost the connection there, which happens sometime in radio, so we'll get him back on and talk a little bit more about Michigan State's and their basketball effort. But Gary Harris played very well last night, and that was a tremendous sight to see. He just looked like he'd been a part of the team all along. I mean, he played very smoothly, didn't make a lot of mistakes, played well, and of course with Brandon coming back, he looked good. No injuries or anything. Kearney looked good. So let's bring back in Denny and talk a little bit more. Hey, Denny, we were talking. Gary Harris looked pretty good. He was pretty impressive for the first game. He looked like he'd been playing with the team all along and with no injuries. That was really good.
Yeah, it was a good sign. And sorry, I lost you for a bit there. Cut out a little bit, but. Yeah, I thought he looked good. Some of these, high-profile recruits, that come in, they just pick right up. It looks like they have been playing with the team for a year or two in the way they play. And that just speaks to the level of talent that, Tom Izzo is starting to bring in. When you talk about guys like Gary Harris and Brandon Dawson, they just get it from day one. And they're at the talent level where they can just come in and grasp, sometimes in the case of Tom Izzo, a difficult scheme. In terms of his offensive sets and the different things he runs. But, when you talk about the talent that, is Gary Harris, he can come right in and contribute right away to this team.
Oh, yes, he did. And that's going to be a positive plus for this team when the younger guys come in. And like Dawson, who's coming back off an injury, he looked pretty good as well. And that's really, I don't think this team has had as much depth as they had this year in a few years. I think Tom might have said since 2004 or 5, they haven't had much depth. And it's refreshing to see having so many good players.
Yeah, and the depth is especially going to be big in the backcourt. I think they got a lot of depth back there. You can talk about three different, guys that can play point guard at any given time with Keith Appling and Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine, who can all play that position in a pinch. And I think that's going to be especially, solid down the road because they can, really guard out at the guard position, not have to worry about foul trouble because they can bring in so many guys. So I think from the backcourt perspective, they'd probably like to find a little more depth in the front court And that's something that they've had. You know, when you look at some of the last few years, when you look at some of those teams, they really had depth in the front court with guys like Marquise Gray and Goran Sutan and, you know, Edong Ebak and guys like that. But I think this year's strength in terms of depth is definitely in the backcourt.
Yes, I was surprised last night, that, to be honest with you, that Alex Garner played so well. He didn't play much for a long time, but he played pretty good.
Yeah, he's a guy that they wanted to get in there, I'm sure, and get a look at. You know, he wasn't able to get as much of an opportunity, I think, last year as maybe some of the coaches would have liked, you know, in terms of live game action. But, yeah, he's a body that they can throw down there. You know, a local kid, obviously, from Eaton Rapids, you know, that they took a couple of years ago. And, you know, he looked to be progressing well, and I think that's a positive, you know, if you're Tom Izzo and the staff, to see him, you know, be able to contribute. And maybe in another big they can throw down there against some of the bigger teams and bulkier teams, especially when you get into Big Ten play.
Yes, yes, that would definitely be a help, that's for sure. Because, like you say, they've got a pretty good front court. I mean, you know, with the Knicks and AP and Adrian Payne, you know, they played pretty well. It surprised me how much Adrian was above the rim last night. I know I saw him a lot over the summer. Of course, he did a lot of work working on his guard skills or on his ball handling over the summer. But I don't know how much he'll get a chance to use that, because I know Tom still wants him to play somewhat down low for most of the season or in most games.
Yeah, and he was looking a lot more, you know, explosive at the end of last year. You know, he had a couple of big dunks in the Ohio State game and the Big Ten Championship down in Indianapolis, and, you know, in the first round against LIU Brooklyn, you know, he had some, you know, high wire acts and threw down a couple, you know, big dunks there in that game against the 16 seed. But, you know, I think it's going to be important again to, you know, see how well, you know, him and Knicks, you know, really team together down low. I mean, that seemed to be a good combination that really paid dividends for them last year, and I think Tom Izzo will want to go to that again at times this year because it worked for the team so well last year.
Yes. Now, how do you think he's going to sort out this starting lineup? But the lineup we saw last night, will that probably be the starting lineup for most of the year? I'm sort of curious, to, you know, because like you say, with him having trouble in the front court, if he does have much trouble, who else could work their way into the starting lineup? Maybe Bird could, some other guys could, possibly Garner could work his way. But how do you see this first-string team playing out?
I think he, in terms of Tom Izzo, I think he will tinker a little bit, you know, as he did at times early in the season last year, just to see kind of what works and get a good feeling about, you know, the five he wants to run out there. Because with this schedule, obviously, you're going to have a grasp of that right away. You know, when you talk about playing against Connecticut and Kansas those first couple games, and just like last year with the, you know, tough open that they had in terms of North Carolina Duke, I think these exhibition games are important in terms of, you know, wanting to have that starting rotation solid so you can send it out against the top 25 caliber club and have some general confidence in what you're putting out there on the court. But when you talk about guys that could break into the starting lineup, yeah, I think guys like maybe Russell Bird, you know, if he's able to show that he can shoot, you know, on a consistent basis, I think he can crack into the lineup because he can provide some three-point offense to this team. And I think a guy like Brandon Kearney with his defense, especially the defense that he showed last year, he may be able to break in that starting lineup too just because of his size and his ability to guard a variety of different players in the backcourt.
Yes. Well, let's turn our attention to football. I mean, Nebraska's coming to town. You know, they beat Michigan last week. What do you think you're going to see in that game?
You know, it's really tough to say in terms of, you know, what I expect from this game just because the Big Ten this year has been really so unpredictable at times, and it was really tough to gauge in Nebraska just because of how tough it was to really gauge Michigan in that game after Denard Robinson went out. They were playing Nebraska pretty much even up for a lot of that game until Robinson went down, and with all the struggles Russell Bellamy had coming in as a backup, you know, they seemed to really struggle, and, you know, he was only 3 of 16, you know, in a backup role, and Nebraska was able to have a reasonably easy time in the second half in terms of putting that game away. You know, their defense, I think, is getting a little better. They did do a lot better job, I thought, than they would against Robinson, you know, and Bellamy, for that matter, when he entered the game. Their defense is a lot better than it was, you know, maybe in the first half against Wisconsin and, you know, when they gave up 63 points to Ohio State and when they gave up, you know, almost 600 yards to UCLA earlier in the season. Their defense has improved, but I don't think it's at the level that Michigan State's defense is playing at right now. When you look at, you know, just really the across-the-board success that Michigan State's defense has had over the course of the year, and it's going to be interesting to see how Taylor Martinez combats that. He's got a few weapons. You know, it looks like, you know, Rex Burkhead has been a little hobbled the last couple of weeks, but he's really an important, you know, asset to that offense in terms of his tough running. You know, Amir Abdullah, you know, another solid player in that offense, and Kenny Bell, the receiver. You know, he's pretty much Taylor Martinez's preferred target in that offense. So they do have some weapons, and I think they can give Michigan State's defense some trouble, but I really like the advantage that Michigan State has defensively, and I'm not totally sold on Nebraska's defense just yet.
Yes, I'm sort of sold on Taylor Martinez. I think he's going to improve substantially since last year, so to a top flight quarterback in the Big Ten. But I know a lot of people still don't look at him that highly, but I just see a guy who's improved quite a bit.
Yeah, his passing has really improved. I mean, I think that's made him a multidimensional player. You can't really play him as a runner anymore because, you know, he's gone through the work, and over the off season he went to a couple camps to fix his passing, and from what I've heard, you know, Nebraska coach Bo Pelini really likes the improvements that Martinez made, you know, over the course of the year, and you've seen that. You know, his motion is still a little awkward. It's definitely unconventional, but you know, he gets it to where it needs to be, and I think he's definitely, you know, when you look at his stats, improved as a passer, and as a runner he's always a threat. You know, he often gets overshadowed in this league with Braxton Miller and Denard Robinson and Kane Coulter as the talented runners they are, but Martinez is still a pretty solid runner himself.
Okay, got a question for you from one of our listeners. Todd is on the line. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to hit with a question on the basketball side and the football side for your guest. Bill was fortunate enough the other day, I think it was even maybe yesterday, to have Coach Stevens on regarding the basketball team. And I'm hearing that this team is going to pressure the ball a little more and press. Now, that is not – I mean, I'm not going to call anybody a fibber. I'm not going to call them a non-truth teller. But when it comes to Michigan State basketball and their defensive philosophy, as well as they play in their man-to-man principles, I'll believe a press and pressure on the ball when I see it. Now, I understand that Coach Izzo is going to do with the players he has the best that he can, but let's be honest, the history of Michigan State basketball, they are not a pressure defensive team, and when I see a press, a hard press, I'll believe it. So, I mean, I know that's what's leaking out, but given your experience covering the team, do you see that happening? And then secondly, obviously Michigan State football disappointing to an extent. I mean, played good teams, lost close games. But I just want to say, in the last 2 weeks, I think Max Bulla has played as well at middle linebacker as any football player in the country. And I'm biased. I'm a Michigan State fan. I know Mante Teo, and there are a lot of great football players across the country. But when you saw what he was able to do against a running quarterback in Denard and how well he played in that Michigan game, and then turn around the next week and go up against a power football team in Wisconsin and play the way he had, that's a special football player. That's a player that's going to play on Sundays. That's a kid that's putting in the work and doing the things that it takes to help his team win football games. So I just wondered if you could comment on those two things, as far as the pressuring on a press on the basketball side, and then just really how well Max Bulla has played for this football team. And again, a guy who's going to play on Sundays. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah. What's your thoughts, Denny?
Well, first, in terms of the basketball question, you know, with the increased pressure and, you know, the idea that, you know, this team could be a pressing team, I think in terms of the non-conference game and maybe the exhibition games, some of that you saw last night, you know, obviously, you know, Coach Tom Izzo has said that, you know, he wants this to be kind of a little more run-and-gun, up-tempo team, and part of that could include some pressure. I think especially in the non-conference, it's important that, you know, a lot of those non-conference teams, when they see you, they're going to see a lot of you based on tape. You know, it's not a full body of work that you may see, you know, and you're not as familiar as a conference opponent. So I think just the idea of throwing a different look in there at times, maybe some pressure, you know, a couple times down the floor, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be in play full-time for this team. Obviously, you have to go with your bread and butter, and once you get the conference play, that man-to-man defense is always a very stifling component of this Michigan State team and the program in general over the last few years and, you know, as long as than Tom Izzo has been in East Lansing. And so I think once you get to conference play, I think you go with what got you there and go with the man-to-man defense as opposed to the pressure. But I like the idea, as I said, of the pressure just kind of being tossed in there as a little bit of a kind of a variant to, you know, what they've been doing in the past, you know, in terms of, you know, just man-to-man defense. I think that's an important look just to kind of throw the opponent off a little bit in the non-conference in slate. And in terms of, you know, the question about Max Bulla, yeah, his play, you know, has been outstanding. I think, you know, in terms of the Midwest, you know, him and Manti Te'o of Notre Dame have to be right up there as the two best linebackers, you know, really middle linebackers in the country in terms of, you know, not only their play. I mean, obviously they get a lot of tackles, they get in on the quarterback, but just in terms of making sure the defense is set up, making sure, you know, guys are in the right spot and, you know, they know where to be. And that all comes back to the middle linebacker. And I think they're very similar players in the fact that they're kind of the quarterback of the defense. And when you look at their styles of play, they're always making sure guys are set up. They're always reading the offensive scheme. They're students of the game. You know, they're hard workers. And really, I think their play has been mirrored. I mean, I know, obviously, because of Notre Dame's team success, Manti Te'o's getting a lot of Heisman looks. But in terms of middle linebacker play, those are two of the best guys that you're going to find, you know, out there in the country. And I was just thinking off the top of my head, you know, when that question was being presented. And, I can think of a few other guys. You know, there's some guys down in the SEC that are, you know, doing big things this year. But in terms of those two players, those are as two as solid as you're going to get around the country.
Okay. Hey, Denny, I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'll talk to you. Well, it's going to be a long basketball season, so we'll be talking from time to time during the season.
All right. Thanks, Earl. Take care.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye. That's Denny Schwartz from the Lansing State Journal. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
With the first Tuesday in November just around the corner, the Superstorm put a stop to top-of-the-ticket campaigning. As the water recedes and the lights come back on, the Obama and Romney campaigns will rev up for the home stretch. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin, Anna Greenberg, and Matt Continetti join us for the countdown to Election Day. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. Glad to have you with us today. Our high 45 degrees and rain is likely. Cloudy tonight with a good chance of rain, the overnight low 34. Cloudy Thursday morning and then becoming partly sunny, a chance of rain tomorrow with a high of 48. Mostly sunny and a high of 49 Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let's talk a little high school sports now. Let's bring in our good friend Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And Jeff, how you doing, my friend? Okay. Hey, you know, we're in the second week of the playoffs. Somebody asked me a few days ago, do the teams still accumulate points in the playoffs?
No, they do not. Nope, that's all done after the regular season, and then we go on those through regionals.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong then. I think I told them that I think they still do accumulate, but that's since they doesn't, well, that's good. That's good to know. So it's good. And now that we're down in the second round, there are still a lot of mid-Michigan area teams that are in the hunt. I guess I'm a little surprised that that many survived the first round.
Well, you know, that some survived the first round, but I think some of the ones that maybe were expected to last past this week got knocked out, some upsets in there. You know, East Lansing beating Everett obviously leaves an area team alive, but I think Everett was the one that people thought might make it all the way to the regionals. Same thing in Division Five, Olivet beating Lansing Catholic last week. You know, it leaves Olivet in the mix, but I think Lansing Catholic is really the team that people thought could get all the way to the regional as well. So, you know, still a share of schools that are out there, but certainly maybe some that we weren't expecting to still be around.
Yes, I know we both expected the Jackson Lumen Christi to still be around, and they got surprisingly, and they were knocked out. There are a few teams, of course. It seems like almost every year there are some teams that get knocked out. You wouldn't expect to happen.
Well, you know, I think that's really what makes the playoffs special.
Yes.
You know, not even just on a local mid-Michigan you know, point of view, but statewide, there were some results last week that, you know, were stunning. There were a ton of them, actually. Zeeland West had beaten Muskegon in week nine and had beaten, Zeeland East had beaten Muskegon in week nine and beaten its rival Zeeland West earlier this season. And Zeeland West won 46-0 over East last week in an opener. Pawpaw was undefeated, and they lost 48-0 to Grand Rapids South Christian. A couple other undefeateds, I think seven undefeated teams total lost last week. You know, stunning. A few rematches. Grand Ledge fell to Holland West Ottawa after beating them in week two. A few others. Dearborn beat Dearborn Fordson after losing to them 35-0 5 weeks ago. So things can change, obviously, when teams are up against the wall and when they're in a must-win situation. And, you know, that second time around sure seems to help them out when it comes to, you know, figuring out what needs to get done, I guess.
You know, Jeff, I'll be shocked when this team gets beat anytime if they get beat at all. I can't see Ithaca losing in the state championship round. I think if they do get upset, it won't matter. Whenever it happens, it will be an upset.
You know, I think so, too. I mean, obviously, they haven't lost, for more than 2 years now. They haven't lost going back to, I think it was, a semifinal against Montague in 2009. And that team is just so loaded. It's even a little bit different than it was the last couple of years. Maybe not as big, maybe a little bit faster. Still has an outstanding quarterback. Pretty tough regional for them, to be honest. Montrose is on the other side against Millington, and one of those would likely be the regional opponent. You know, and then they'd probably have to go up against, I'm guessing, Negaunee in a semifinal, and Negaunee's been very good this year, too. But, you know, you look at this bracket, and I think their toughest challenge would probably be Schoolcraft in the final at Ford Field. Schoolcraft won the KVA, which includes Olivet and Constantine, last year's runner-up, and a few others. And, you know, I think that's where Ithaca is going to find, really, its first big challenge.
Yeah, and another team I'm sort of a little bit surprised that they were getting in. I guess I shouldn't place too much value because I saw Williamston play Ithaca in the first game of the year, and, of course, Ithaca handled them. But, you know, Williamston came back and made the playoffs, and I guess they put themselves in a position where they might can win a couple of games.
Well, you know, Williamston, that's really a mark of a good program because I didn't see them, you know, necessarily getting a playoff win. You know, they barely got in. They had to win their last three just to make the postseason. You know, but they had to beat Marshall last week, and there are still some not great feelings there from a few years ago when Marshall beat them, I think in overtime or by a point, I can't really remember, in the playoff opener, ended up going on, winning the championship in that division. Williamson kind of felt like some things happened there that should have made it their game in their year. So, you know, that was a big win for Williamson last week. Now, granted, it doesn't get a whole lot easier. Three Rivers comes out of a very good league in the southwest corner of the state. And on the other side of that district is Dowagiac, which won that league and hasn't lost the season, has crushed basically everybody they've seen. So things don't get easier, but getting one win at all for the Hornets is probably exceeding a lot of people's expectations.
Yes, because they've impressed us quite well so far. And then we've got Owosso and St. John's playing each other in Division III. A little bit surprising that they're still in it. And of course, DeWitt is still hanging around.
They are, and that's an interesting district as well because St. John's beat Owosso by a point when they played each other earlier this season. DeWitt has had to basically take on the best of the Flint Metro Conference here the last couple of weeks. Last week, beating Lapeer West, which was one of the two teams that tied for third. Now they've got Linden, which is one of the two teams that tied for the championship. There were four teams in that league that were actually in first place going into the final regular season game. So DeWitt's, you know, making its way through that conference. You know, I think that could be I think, you know, I feel pretty good about DeWitt winning that game, potentially. But I think a DeWitt St. John's rematch might be maybe one of the best ones around here, if not the best, next week if it happens that way.
Give us a call. We're talking with Jeff Kimberly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, 355-9527, or call us at toll free, 877-952-7870. Call us locally or locally or long distance, either way, 877-952-7870. That's toll free line, or call us locally here if you live in the Mid-Michigan area, 355-9527. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU football or MSU basketball, give us a call, or hockey, that is, give us a call at 884-4870 if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU football or hockey, 884-4870. Give us a call there right now and register for your chance to win tickets. Hey, Jeff, you know, looking down there, we got a lot of our smaller schools are still in the playoffs. You know, PW, Pomona Westphalia is still in. Mm-hmm. Fowler's still in. Portland St. Patrick are in. It seems like.
Don't forget about Dansville, Earl.
Oh, yeah, Dansville. That's right. Yeah. We've got a lot of teams in the smaller divisions that are still in there and hanging in there and doing quite well. You know, when you look at a lot of the Muskegon teams, the teams from the Muskegon area from the smaller divisions are still in, and a few of the Grand Rapids areas. But I'll tell you, we've got some pretty good teams here in the Mid-Michigan area in the smaller levels.
Well, you know, you look at three of those schools being from one league, and really, Portland St. Patrick is playing eight-player this fall, but before that, it was also part of the same league, the Central Michigan Athletic Conference. People have talked up that league for, you know, a number of years as being one of the best for small school football in the state. And, you know, two schools made it last year to the finals. PW and Fowler both lost, but they both made it. So this is just, you know, more evidence at the collective strength of that conference. Things are going to get a little tougher this week. Fowler has played everybody well. The only team that they lost to, and it was not by much, was Mendon on opening night. But they host Muskegon Catholic Central, who plays some very good competition, a lot of bigger schools. I think Fowler's going to have a tough one there. Pomona Westphalia, they're still alive, obviously, as well. They have a good opponent in Goebbels this weekend. But, again, it's a home game. Dansville might have the best shot out of those three. Britton Deerfield comes in. Dansville went on the road to beat Ottawa Lake Whiteford last week, and that was a very good win for them. Now that they earned a chance to be back home, which is obviously a big deal. And then St. Pat, you know, they're just cruising. They got to win just a couple more here to get into the second ever MHSAA eight-player final. They have Battle Creek St. Philip, who they've beaten twice already. They play them on Saturday, so that's pretty exciting. You know, I think people out in St. Pat's, you know, were used to a lot of success over at the end of the 90s, and I think they're probably pretty excited about this again.
Yes, as well they should be. Hey, you know, Jeff, I was looking down the teams that are still involved in the volleyball, and it looks like, boy, there are a ton of teams in Mid-Michigan that are still in the hunt for that state championship in volleyball.
Well, you know, we're only a couple games in. Mm-hmm. Districts just started on Monday, so I would say almost everybody's still involved. But, you know, Lakewood is definitely the team that if somebody's going to come out of here, they would be the ones. The Vikings, they're ranked number one, I believe, in Class B this week, have been for most of the season. You know, Class A and B are so competitive. And, you know, Lakewood has beaten, I believe, Forest Hills Eastern, which is number three in Class B, and that's a school they might run into here soon. You know, with North Branch and Marysville, some of those traditional powers on the other side of the bracket. But, you know, that's the one ranked school Mid-Michigan has. In any of the classes, and that's the one that I think, you know, people should probably keep an eye on the most.
Yes, and I tell you, it seems like, especially in the girls' volleyball, you know, you just about have to be tall. I mean, it's like if you're under 6 foot, you're considered a small player.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you know what though, there are a lot of hitters that can get up. And they can still do some things. And it's a great game because, you know, there are so many different ways to contribute. It's a lot like a football or like, a you know, any sport where you have people with multiple skill sets that can do some things because you've got a lot of very talented athletes that will play libero. You've got some, obviously, setter is a huge position on the volleyball court. It's basically your quarterback. You know, and you've got some other defensive positions in there as well. So, you know, it's definitely an opportunity for a lot of people to participate. And you know, a sport that's actually grown in some popularity the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's always good because we love to see this growth, especially in the high school sports. I know we haven't talked about it in a long time, but it's just about now. Everybody is pay for play. I mean, it's unfortunate that it's went this way because, you know, you haven't been around quite as long as I have. But, you know, I go back to those days when kids didn't have to pay anything to participate in high school sports. So it's certainly changed over the years.
Well, you know, and it is still kind of an amazing thing, you know, that way. You wouldn't have even thought of it 10 years ago, to be honest. And it's really something that's come on the last 5 or 6 years. And, yeah, of course, it's not something that we're too excited about because we feel, you know, as athletics are a key part of the educational process as a whole. So, you know, hopefully it's one of those things that we've seen from a statewide level, it leveled off a little bit in the last year. We hope it stays that way. We hope that more schools find ways through fundraising or whatever to make it so that their families don't have to chip in anymore to be part of athletics. And actually some schools have done that. There have been some neat situations. I think Cassopolis was one, and I remember there are a couple of others where some people made some pretty sizable donations. Lamar Woodley put money in so that everybody in the Saginaw Public School District could have their fees waived. So you see some stuff like that, and obviously those people realize that athletics are a very valuable part of the educational process. And, you know, we can only hope that things like that continue to happen because we feel the same way.
Yes, because let's hope that it really does, because we need those efforts from people who maybe have a little bit more and can afford to contribute a little bit more. It's always very appreciated, that's for sure, Jeff. And let's finish up. We've got a couple of minutes left, so let's talk a little bit more about the high school playoffs. And who do you see as the favorites if you go down each division? How do you see it in Division 1, 2, and 3? Who do you think are the favorites to win it?
Well, if I'm looking at what's left, and this makes it a lot easier since we're through a week, you know, I like Livonia Churchill a little bit in Division 1. I've heard some people say that they feel like that's the best team that they've seen. I know one person in particular who does a lot of stuff down there told me that. Clarkston, I like as well there. And the good news there is neither of them runs into Lake Orion, which is on the other side of the bracket. You could see a Clarkston-Lake Orion rematch, which they were 1-2 here a couple weeks ago, and that would be a pretty great game. Division 2 is interesting. You know, Brother Rice is the reigning champion, and they always look very good. Muskegon, Midland, Lowell, and Traverse City Central are all in one region. I think that's going to be maybe a decider. I think either those guys are all going to beat up on each other so much that whoever comes out of the other side will be able to cruise in the final. But more than likely, I think you might find your champion somewhere in there. I like Midland right now. They've looked pretty tough to beat so far, coming out of a pretty good league. Division 3, you know, that's another tough one because you have to keep looking at the Detroit Catholic League schools, especially considering the teams that they've gone up against during the regular season. You've got Orchard Lake St. Mary there, Grand Rapids Christian. They haven't lost to anybody in state. They lost to, I think, Cincinnati Molar in week 2 or something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see those two meet, Division 3.
Okay.
Let's see, Division 4... now we start getting down here into some schools that maybe people haven't heard of as much or know about as much about. Pontiac Notre Dame Prep made it through the first 8 weeks of the season, just dominating people, and they lost in their prep bowl game, but I feel pretty good about them. I think they got a nice shot. Grand Rapids Catholic Central on the other side of that bracket looks good too. Division 5, we've got Muskegon Oak Ridge hasn't lost, but I think the best team there is Flint Powers. They have dominated everyone. They won the championship last year. They have Frankenmuth this week, which is also undefeated. But Powers has played a very tough schedule and beaten up on a lot of very good teams. We already talked about Ithaca in Division 6. I think everybody assumes that's the favorite there. Division 7, I've liked Detroit Loyola the whole time. They and Reese could see each other in a semifinal, and those are the two undefeated schools left there. But Loyola, again, has played such tough competition, and really this could be the year they break through. They've been close the last couple, and I think this might be the one. I think Mendon wins Division 8 again. They've been unstoppable. You know, New Lothrop's there, and they haven't lost either, and they're always a great program. St. Ignace is undefeated as well. Beale City, gosh, there's a bunch of them, but Mendon, they're just, you know, every year it seems like they're the class of this thing. And A player, I like Portland St. Patrick to make to the final. That one's a tough one because there's so much offense there, and it's a game we're still learning so much about. But I think Cedarville and Portland St. Patrick meet in that championship game, and, you know, from there, who knows? I can't even tell you, but I'm excited to see how it might pan out.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining me. Always good talking with you, my friend. And I'll be back talking with you more as we're getting down to winding up the winter sports and, the fall sports. And then we're getting into the winter sports. You know, we'll have to start talking basketball real soon.
It's coming on as quickly as you can imagine.
So. Yep, that's for sure. Hey, Jeff, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yep, have a good one, Earl.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jeff Kimberly talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Where do you go for rich conversation on the topics that matter most? The radio is more responsive than the water cooler, and we take your calls. I'm Neil Conan. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Join us for provocative talk on the issues you really care about. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming your way 3 o'clock this afternoon right here on WKAR.
Rain likely today, the high 45 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and a good chance of rain, the low 34. Cloudy Thursday morning and then becoming partly sunny. Maybe rain again tomorrow, the high 48. And mostly sunny Friday, the high will be 49 degrees. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. As you know, we'll be talking about if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU football or MSU hockey, give us a call at 884-4870. That's 884-4870 for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey or MSU basketball, football, that is. Got three games left with Nebraska this week. And then we have Northwestern in a couple of weeks. And then we'll finish up the season at Minnesota. So three pretty tough games coming up. A lot of people don't give Northwestern any respect, but that's a very good team, and they've been good all year long. So this is a team you really have to watch out for, that's for sure. So give us a call at 884-4870 for tickets to the Nebraska game coming up this weekend. And it's 43 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and, well, we got a little comment. Let's hear from Coach Mark D'Antonio, and he talks about this Nebraska team.
Disciplined football team, very good on the defense side of the ball. I think Compton, their linebacker, 51, is an outstanding football player. Been very impressed with their secondary, their corners last year, and their defensive front as well. They lead the Big Ten in sacks right now. Basically a top 20 defense. Very, very good in pass defense. When you look at them offensively, I think it centers around Martinez. Does a nice job, very good job. He's a run-pass type of guy, can create. Abdullah, Burkhead, outstanding tailbacks. Bell, top receiver. Two very good tight ends in Cotton and Reed, and big physical offensive line. So be a great challenge for us.
And the one thing that's helped Michigan State do so well this year, at least on the defensive side, has been the play of their linebackers. The linebackers has really done a great job for Michigan State, and here is what Coach D'Antonio had to say about the linebackers.
Max Bulla, first of all, is an overachiever. When I say that with the greatest respect, because regardless of what level of play that you have, and he has a very high ceiling, if you can overachieve and understand that you always need to get better, you're untapped as a player, and I think that's the type of person he is. He is driven. He is very self-driven, and he will always look for a way to get better as a football player. So he continues to be a sort of a centerpiece for us defensively, not just in terms of his abilities, but what he knows and and his ability to think on the field and understand things. Tawan Jones, Chris Norman. Tawan stepped forward this past week, you know, as a true sophomore. Played a little bit last year, but I think he's got a great deal of ability. Runs very well, tackles in space, powerful. And I thought he had a great football game. You know, Chris Norman's a senior, and he's had some injuries, been a little bit nicked up this season a little bit. So he's been in and out of it a little bit, but he's a play consistently in there. And then Denikos Allen has big playability. I mean, he's a guy that can run and make a lot of plays for you and extremely active player. And certainly last year he was very active. I think this year he's been active as well. And I think with those linebackers, they cover up things, and they've been very difficult. We've been very difficult to run on. And I think a lot of it is due to the way we run and fill and our maybe our scheme and things of the things that we do. But they've been very, very solid in there. Got Kyler Ellsworth playing in there in nickel situations, and he's been a playmaker.
And that's Coach D'Antonio talking about the linebackers, which you have a very strong cadre of linebackers. Well, let's talk about the last night's basketball game, and let's hear what Tom Izzo has to say about his team in last night's first exhibition win, 85-57. Here's Tom Izzo commenting on the team's play.
Brandon Dawson. I felt Dawson, you know, if you looked at the first 5 minutes of the game, I think he had 8 points and 4 rebounds and really didn't do the things we needed him to do to be a successful team. And that was kind of a microcosm of our whole team tonight. I think Nick said it best to use a phrase from Bill Parcells, you know, we didn't do our job. We tried to do things, including him handling the ball on the floor, Russell handling the ball on the floor, and we didn't run. We didn't do the things that we've been doing in practice, and we've been doing a great job of it. Some of you guys have been at practices, and that was disappointing. But I think it happens when you play two groups like we did and the way we played them. You know, I did it for a reason. I went in with a scripted rotation. I went in with a scripted set of guys that wanted to get in when I wanted to go real small with Trice and Appling together, which, by the way, wasn't a bad lineup. And then they started, I give Raleigh credit, they started a different lineup. Their one big kid didn't play, and that probably hurt us instead of helping us because they were 6'7", 6'5", and we have Payne and Appling for the first, Payne and Nix for the first time together. And, you know, we'll probably never run into something like that with two guys that can shoot the ball. I really like the Dombey kid. He was impressive, and James played pretty well for them, and so did number 10 Parks. So those three guys I thought did a good job for us. I thought Harris and actually all our guards did a pretty good job.
Yes, and we had a chance to talk with Harris after the game and asked Harris about you know, how he felt playing his first collegiate game.
Gary, you played just about every minute in high school for a game. How was it for you going in and out of a game from time to time?
Oh, man, it's different. I mean, I was used to playing the whole game, but, I mean, it's not as bad because, I mean, I got other guys out here that can contribute just as much as me. And, I mean, it's just good to see other guys go out there and do the thing. And, I mean, it helps, you know, we all get more rest.
Yes, they do, and they've got a lot of guys, and that's one good thing Izzo likes to have. He loves to have a lot of guys he can put in the game. You know, it looks like he's going to have to probably pare it down somewhat, but he's got 8 to 10 players who he could play night in and night out. I think he probably wouldn't hesitate to put any of those players in. A lot of very good players here at Michigan State, and so we'll just have to see how the rotation works and how he puts it all together. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Are you at all nervous about Saturday's game against Nebraska? You know, Michigan State has never beaten Nebraska, so obviously they want to do that. They've never beat them home or on the road. So this would be a good time for them to start. So now that they're in the Big Ten, they're going to have to see Nebraska most years. So this is a very good test for Michigan State. That defense is going to be tested. It'll be a game that many of us will have to probably try to stay awake because it's going to be a lot of running in that game. It's going to be a ground base, and both teams love to run the football. They love so you're going to have to stop them. You're going to have to stop Nebraska from running. You're going to have to stop Michigan State from running. Both teams really love the football. So you're going to see a game where two teams, it's like two bears butting heads. You're going to see a game that's really going to be tough. And let me get Aaron's opinion on this. Aaron, now, this Nebraska game is going to be really tough between two teams. How do you see it playing out?
Well, yeah, you're right. Michigan State hasn't gone in their favor when they play Nebraska. So maybe this is the year. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be a close game. Frankly, I think Michigan State can win. I think their defense is plenty good enough. And if Michigan State's offense plays like it did the last drive against Wisconsin, they got a pretty good shot of winning. So, the fact that they've never defeated them before, I don't think that matters for the players or the coaches. I mean, I think that's irrelevant. This team's kind of brand new on the offensive side anyway, so that's, I don't think that's really a big deal. And you can't really look at that anyway. So, I think Michigan State's got a good chance. But, the offense has been kind of inconsistent. So depending on who decides to show up on offense, that could have a huge factor in the game. I think the defense is I think we know that they're going to show up and play some good ball on their side. But the offense, again, depends who shows up.
Yes, that's true. And, I'm sort of thinking, we know it's going to be, both teams really love to run the football. So that's going to be a very tough, hard-hitting game as both teams try to get it going on the ground. Can Maxwell get enough time to throw the ball? Will he be able to put some pressure on them? Or will Taylor Martinez be able to put some pressure on Michigan State? Michigan State finally got a pass rush last week. They haven't had one all year, but they had a good game against Iowa, getting some pressure on the quarterback. So if they can do that, State has a good chance. But I don't know. I just like the multidimensional, the versatility of Taylor Martinez. I see him probably getting away a little bit more to run and to pass. So what do you think? Do you think it's going to boil down to the quarterbacks, or is it going to boil down to each team's tough running backs?
I think it's more going to be the running backs. I think Michigan State has the personnel to kind of keep Martinez in check from running around quite a bit. They were able to do it against Robinson for the most part. I think that'll be fine. I don't think that's going to be an issue. And Martinez, he's still, for me, he hasn't proven that he can throw the ball consistently all the time. He's a good quarterback, but, he still hasn't proven it to me just quite yet. Some other people, maybe that's different. But, I think it's going to be the running back situation. We know how Bell is.
Yeah.
It could come down to that. With college and the way State's kind of been up and down this year, it's kind of hard. I mean, we can sit here and guess, but the reality is, we don't know
till game day.
Yeah, they haven't been consistent enough for us to kind of make a more precise, guess. But it's going to be kind of hard to say kind of who shows up.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to wait and see. Who really shows up and who shows up and who doesn't show up? Some guys been playing all year long and been playing, like we say, at a high level. But, everybody runs into a game or two where everybody just doesn't show up. That could be for either Nebraska or for Michigan State. You're going to have some guys who for whatever reason, won't show up to play in that game. It'll be mysterious to a lot of us because we expect people to play hard and come to play hard every game. But there are a lot of games times during the year that some guys just don't have it or they just won't feel like bringing it on that particular day.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think we've seen that with Michigan State. Whether or not that was the case or it was just a process of learning and growing and coming together as a team, I think we saw it last weekend with against Wisconsin. I mean, there were some catches that I think Mumphrey made and a couple of the other wide receivers made that's just like, wow, where has that been all season? But, that just takes time. And then Maxwell, too, there was moments, earlier in the season people were like, man, what is he doing? frankly, I think it's just a matter of getting real game time experience, and it takes time. And Coach has said that before. So, you know, and then obviously that last drive, he was calm, he was composed. Everyone was on the, you know, on the offensive side. And, you know, when you are that way, you can, it shows how good they can be on offense. So, yeah, you know, hopefully that's what'll everyone will show up that way for the entire game. If they can do that in the entire game, you know, that should be a win, no problem.
Yeah, it should be. That's what we hope it does, that they'll continue to play well, and they will build off of that Wisconsin game, and they'll build it, and they'll have extra confidence coming in to this game. Of course, Nebraska may have a lot of confidence, too, after their win against Michigan at home. They may have a lot of confidence for this game. So we might see two teams who are both very high on the confidence meter coming into this game here in Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Although I would argue that Nebraska's win over Michigan wasn't on the level that Michigan State's win was over Wisconsin. You know, Michigan really hasn't played anyone else. You know, their losses were against good teams, obviously, and their wins, you know, they're quality wins, but, you know, they're not major wins. But, you know, Wisconsin, I think, was ranked 25th technically. So technically, I guess, if you want to consider it an upset, it was. So I think comparing those two teams on the confidence level, I think Michigan State would be higher in the confidence level just because I think they sort of reached a certain level. And you could tell it after the game. They were all celebrating as if it was just like a big bowl win or something. So, you know, and to come that far, it's taken, you know, probably a little bit longer than maybe the coaching staff has wanted and maybe obviously the fans have wanted. But, you know, they finally got there. And I think Nebraska's win over Michigan, I don't think there was any sort of we took it up to the next level. I think, you know, they got a win and that was that. I think for Michigan State, though, they sort of took it to another level, a learning stage, and then they can build off that more than what Nebraska had against Michigan.
Yes, that's what they're going to have to do. You know, look at it as a learning stage, looking at it as a game that they learn from and take it from that. They've had some great games against Wisconsin in recent years, and, you know, that's become a pretty good rivalry, Michigan State and Wisconsin. So, you know, we can look at it from that level because two teams play very high at each other, and really they're two teams that are very similar style of play, what they do present offensively and defensively. It's two teams that really mirror themselves, and so that makes it for a really tough contest.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why you're seeing so many close games and exciting games for the fans. I mean, yeah, from a fan standpoint, you're hoping this happens every year, but hopefully it turns out for Michigan State's way, of course, if you're a Michigan State fan. But yeah, I mean, when you have two teams that play the same style, I mean, close to the same style, you're gonna have close games, and it's gonna come down to the wire sometimes overtime, like we saw. So, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. And I mean, it's exciting for the fans for sure. So,
yep, that's for sure. And so we'll be seeing this weekend. It'll be quite interesting. And I know you haven't been over to hockey yet, but I think you're looking forward to some of these hockey games. And you know, they're really going to get, you know, in the CCHA, it's going to be its last year before they go over to the Big Ten. We'll start their own league next year.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Obviously, that's, you know, hockey's a different world than, you know, obviously a lot of the other college sports. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see kind of how the Big Ten has their own league coming up next year. And then, you know, but this year's got to focus on this year first. So kind of wait and see how this year plays out. I'm looking forward to the team kind of growing and coming together.
Yes, it should be a very good year and should be a good team coming up this year. Well, hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, that is, on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.